I was dreaming when I wrote this. Forgive me if it goes astray. But when I woke up this morning, could have sworn it was Judgment Day. Sky was all purple, there were people running everywhere. And this is the bar of the whole song. Prince say, trying to run from my destruction, you know I didn't even care. Good people of Atlanta, we must never forget that Anthony Bourdain killed himself. Anthony Bourdain had the greatest job the show business ever produced. This nigga flew around the world and ate delicious meals with outstanding people. That man with that job hung himself in a luxury suite in France. They say 2000 party over, oops, out of time. So tonight I'm gonna party like it's 1999. I knew a nigga in high school that was an urban genius. This motherfucker's grades were so good, he got all the way from the hood to an Ivy League school with a full scholarship. From there, the motherfucker got himself into one of the best law schools in the country. And when he was in law school, he met a woman and they fell in love. And they were gonna get married. I remember him telling me about it. He was home for Christmas. And I told him, I said, my man, save that bitch for later in your life. But he's in love. He didn't listen to me. He married her while he was in law school. And sadly, they got divorced while he was in law school. He was a street nigga from the hood. This man had nothing. And that bitch took half of that. And then I just never saw him again for years. And then 2 years ago, I was home in D.C. doing some shopping, trying to buy my sons some socks at Foot Locker. I go to Foot Locker. Guess who's the manager? That nigga. Dressed like a referee, the whole shit. This motherfucker is 45 years old. We went out drinking that night just trying to catch up. And he told me, he said he's been living with his mother for like 10 years just trying to get back on his feet. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is, never occurred to this nigga to kill himself. He's alive and well in D.C. I even suggested to him that he should try it out. Like, I don't know, nigga, he might be. Nobody's life is perfect. No matter what it looks like from the outside, you don't know what the fuck's going on inside. I have a great life, but it's not a perfect life. But it's good. It's, my shit's like an above-ground pool. You ever seen one of them? It's a pool. So in that spirit, tonight, I thought I'd start my show a little differently. Tonight, I'm going to do something that I'm not particularly good at, but that I like to do. Tonight, I'm going to try some impressions out. I only got two. All right, the first impression is kind of dumb, but I like it. This is my impression. You ready? This is my impression of the founding fathers of America when the Constitution was being written. You ready? Here it goes. Hurry up and finish that Constitution, nigga. I'm trying to get some sleep. It's not bad, right? All right, the next one. The next one's a little harder. I want to see if you can guess who it is I'm doing an impression of. All right, let me get into character. You got to guess who it is, though. Okay, here it goes. Hey, duh, if you do anything wrong in your life, duh, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care what I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're fucking duh, finished. Who's that? That's you. That's what the audience sounds like to me. That's why I don't be coming out doing comedy all the time, because y'all niggas is the worst motherfuckers I've ever tried to entertain in my fucking life. Oh. Goddamn sick of it. This is the worst time ever to be a celebrity. You're gonna be finished. Everyone's doomed. Michael Jackson has been dead for 10 years, and this nigga has two new cases. And if you haven't watched that documentary, then I'm begging you, don't watch it. It's fucking gross. I felt like HBO was sticking baby dicks in my ears for 4 hours straight. Really nasty shit. I don't want to know all these things. Turns out, Michael Jackson allegedly likes a long gander at the anus. So they said he stares at people's buttholes. That's what they said. That's how gross the documentary was. I'm going to say something that I'm not allowed to say. But I got to be real. I don't believe these motherfuckers. I do not believe it. But let me qualify the statement. I am what's known on the streets as a victim blamer. You know what I mean? If somebody come up to me like, Dave, Chris Brown just beat up Rihanna. I'll be like, well, what did she do? Dave, Michael Jackson was molesting children. Well, what were those kids wearing at the time? I don't think he did it. But you know what? Even if he did do it, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I mean, it's Michael Jackson. I know more than half the people in this room have been molested in their lives. But it wasn't no goddamn Michael Jackson, was it? This kid got his dick sucked by the King of Pop. All we get is awkward Thanksgivings for the rest of our lives. You know how good it must have felt to go to school the next day after that shit? Hey, Billy, how was the weekend? How was my weekend? Michael Jackson sucked my dick. And that was my first sexual experience. If I'm starting here, then sky's the limit. I know it seems harsh, but man, somebody's got to teach these kids. There's no such thing as a free trip to Hawaii. He's gonna want to look at your butthole or something. You know why I don't believe it? You know why I don't believe it? Because if Michael Jackson's out here doing all this molesting, then why not Macaulay Culkin? Macaulay Culkin said in an interview that Michael Jackson never did anything inappropriate with him or even around him. Think about that shit. You know, I'm not a pedophile. But if I was, Macaulay Culkin's the first kid I'm fucking. I'll tell you that right now. I'd be a goddamn hero. Hey, that guy over there fucked a kid from Home Alone. And you know how hard he is to catch. My mind's telling me no. Okay, R. Kelly is different. I mean, you know, if I'm a betting man, I'm gonna put my money on he probably did that shit. I'm pretty sure he did that shit. You know, it's bad, okay, so a couple years ago, I was doing a show in Detroit, and I'm sitting backstage in my dressing room. A friend of mine comes by, this chick, Dream Hampton. Dream tells me, right before I'm going on stage, she goes, Dave, I'm working on a documentary about R. Kelly. Would you like to be in it? And I was like, nah, bitch, I'm cool. I went on stage, I just forgot about the shit. And then 2 years later, the documentary comes out, Surviving R. Kelly. And when it comes out, Dream's promoting the shit, and she keeps bringing me up. She said, I asked Dave Chappelle to be in my documentary, and he said it was too hot for TV. Bitch, I did not say that. That does not even sound like how I talk. Oh, that's too hot for TV? I would never say that shit. But I'm gonna tell you guys why I wasn't in the documentary. It's a very simple reason, and I cannot stress this point enough. The only reason that I didn't do it was because, and it's very important, I don't know this nigga at all. I don't know anything. I don't know anything that they don't tell me about. I don't hang out with this nigga, nothing. So what the fuck do I gotta be in the documentary for? This guy, R. Kelly, got another sex tape out now. Can you believe that shit? This guy makes more sex tapes than he does music. He's like the DJ Khaled of sex tapes. Another one. Like, damn, nigga. It's a lot of tapes. The new one's so bad that they didn't even show it. I've never seen anything like this. The prosecutor in Chicago came out in a press conference and read to the media a transcript of a sex tape. Have you ever heard of such a thing? This nigga read the sex tape. And it was so bad that R. Kelly sounded guilty in the transcripts. It's fucking amazing. 16 times the girl's age was mentioned. Isn't that crazy? This motherfucker's an idiot. He was fucking like, yeah, this is the best 14-year-old pussy I've ever had in my life. And she was like, you like this 14-year-old pussy? He's like, oh, yeah, I love this 14. I'm like, man, you need to shut the fuck up. You got to give your lawyer something to work with. You're supposed to be on the tape like, this is the best 36-year-old pussy I've ever had in my life. And then your lawyer going to be like, Your Honor, clearly my client thought that this woman was 36. As he mentioned some 16 times in the tape. They gonna know you lying, though. You know what I mean? Everybody knows no such thing as good 36-year-old pussy. Doesn't matter what I say. And if you at home watching this shit on Netflix, remember, bitch, you clicked on my face. Celebrity hunting season. Doesn't matter what I say, they're gonna get everybody eventually. Like, look, I don't think I did anything wrong, but we'll see. They even got poor Kevin Hart. Can you imagine such a thing? Kevin Hart, let me tell you something. It was Kevin Hart's dream to host the Oscars. That's what he told me. And I remember when he told me, because I was thinking to myself, well, that's an awfully strange dream for an African-American. Kind of nigga dreams of hosting the Oscars. Kevin did, that's who. And he did it. Against all the odds, Kevin became the most famous comedian this world has ever seen, and he got the job that only one black man before him had. He was going to host the 80th Oscars. And I don't know what you know about Kevin, but I know Kevin Hart is damn near perfect. As close to perfect as anybody I've ever seen. In fact, Kevin is precisely 4 tweets shy of being perfect. 10 years ago, Kevin had made some very homophobic comments. And I'm not gonna repeat what he said, because this is Atlanta. You know what I mean. I'm sure there's a lot of gay men here tonight with their wives. Far be it from me to offend anybody. All right, I'll tell you what he said. But just remember, these are not my words. These were Kevin's words. And it was a long time ago. And I'm paraphrasing because I'm not good at telling other people's jokes. Okay, Kevin said that if his little son was demonstrating or exhibiting homosexual behavior around the house, that he'd chastise him. He'd say, hey, that's gay. And then he said he would smash a dollhouse over that child's head. Ooh, the gay community was furious. And I don't blame them. I got a lot of gay friends. And all of them, 100% of them, all have told me fucking horror stories about the shit they had to go through just to be themselves. Crazy, crazy stories. And in all those stories, I gotta say, not one of them has ever mentioned anything like their father smashing a fucking dollhouse over their head. Because clearly Kevin was joking. Think about it. You would have to buy this nigga a dollhouse to break it over his head in the first place. Does that sound right? Is anybody gonna do that? The gay community was upset, and then they put so much pressure on the Academy of Motion Pictures and Sciences that they went to Kevin and said, if you don't apologize to that community, then you cannot host these Oscars. And then Kevin said, fuck it, I quit. And then he went on every talk show in America and apologized for 6 weeks. Kevin fucked up. I understand the mistake you made because I've made the same mistake early in my career. This is many years ago, 15 years ago. It's when I was doing Chappelle's show. There's a... Thank you. On network television, they have a department that's called Standards and Practices. This is the department that tells you what you can and cannot say on television. And if you're doing your job well, you should never hear from them. But if you're making Chappelle's show, you'll hear from these motherfuckers all the time. And remember, this is 15 years ago. I made a mistake. I didn't even know I had done anything wrong. I had written a sketch that had the word faggot in it. So I had to go to Standards and Practices. They call me up. I don't know why they're calling me, but I like the lady that runs the department. She's usually really fair and was one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. So she sits me down. We have a nice conversation. She tells me, oh, the sketches are great. I go, oh, fantastic. Well, then why am I here? She said, because David, there's no way that you can ever say the word faggot on our network. I didn't know I did anything wrong. I didn't try to defend myself. I said, all right, fuck it, I'll take it out. Have a good afternoon. And as I was leaving, it occurred to me, hey, Renee, quick question. It's just a question. Seriously, I want to know, like, why is it that I can say the word nigger with impunity? But I can't say the word faggot. And she said, because, David, you are not gay. I said, well, Renee, I'm not a nigger either. But you see, what I didn't realize at the time and what Kevin had to learn the hard way is we were breaking an unwritten and unspoken rule of show business. And if I say it, you'll know that I'm telling you the truth. The rule is that no matter what you do in your artistic expression, you are never, ever allowed to upset the alphabet people. You know who I mean. Those people that took 20% of the alphabet for themselves. I'd say the letters, but I don't want to conjure their anger. It's too late now. I'm talking about them L's and them B's and them G's and the T's. People be surprised. I have friends all kinds of letters. Everybody loves me and I love everybody. I got friends who are L's, I got friends who are B's, and I got friends who are G's. But the T's hate my fucking guts. And I don't blame them. It's not their fault, it's mine. I can't stop telling jokes about these niggas. I don't want to write these jokes, but I just can't stop. You know, you hear all those letters together all the time, LBGT, LBGT, and you think it's just one big movement. It's not. All those letters are their own movement. They just travel in the same car together. And my guess is, what is this, high school? This nigga probably got a babysitter or something. Go on and answer your phone, nigga. Just get that shit out of here. I'm in the middle of something important. Wouldn't it be funny if we made fun of him? He's like, ah, and he went outside like, hello? Mama's dead. Oh, no! Mama's dead. Ah! That was a weird time phone call, wasn't it? It's like his phone is gay. Like I was saying, my guess is the G's are driving that car. That makes sense to me, because there's white men in the G's. And these people are trying to get around discrimination and oppression. And you know how white dudes are. We know these roads. In fact, we built these roads. The rest of you buckle up. We'll get you to where you want to go. So the G's are just driving the car. Of course, next to the G's in the passenger seat is the L's. Everybody likes the L's, except for the G's. I don't know what that's about. I just know the G's don't like him that much. And the G's always say like little subliminal digs on him. It's unnecessary shit. It's not mean, but you know what I mean? They just be like, I wouldn't wear that. The only thing that breaks the tension between the L's and the G's are the B's in the back seat. That's right, there you go. Everybody scream out when you hear your letter. If it's one thing that the L's and the G's agree on, is that the B's are fucking gross. They seem greedy to the L's and the G's, you know what I mean? They're just sitting in the back seat like, yeah, man, I'll fuck anybody in this car. What's going on, man? And sitting next to the B's, all the way in the back seat by themselves, looking out the window. That's the T's. Everybody in the car respects the T's, but everyone also resents the T's. It's not the T's fault, but everyone in the car just feels like the T's are making the trip take longer. Anything the T's say gets on everybody's nerves. And then the T's don't even say anything bad. They should be in the back talking to themselves. I'm hot. Shut up. Shut the fuck up, okay? Just roll the window down, you bitch. I don't know what you... What? Just said I was hot. Can you pull over at the next exit? I need to use the restroom. There is not a restroom for you for four states, nigga. Will you just shut the fuck up so we can get where we're going? And just when that car can't get any more tense, the Q's are a hitchhiker that they pick up on the road. Some white dude in booty shorts is walking down the freeway. G's see him. That guy might be one of us. Hey, are you okay? You need some help? And he come over there with them booty shorts leaning on the window. Hey, what's going on, fellas? Lady? Whatever pronoun makes you feel comfortable in the back. Yeah. I don't really know where I'm going. I don't know if I'm gay or I'm straight or whatever. All I know for sure is that I really want to get in this car. And they make him get in and sit in between the B's and the T's. I feel bad for T's, but they're so confusing. And it's not all my fault. I feel like they need to take some responsibility for my jokes. Because I didn't come up with this idea on my own. This idea that a person can be born in the wrong body. But they have to admit, that's a fucking hilarious predicament. It's really fucking funny. If it happened to me, you'd laugh, wouldn't you? That wouldn't be funny if it happened to me? I think it would be. What if it did? What if I was Chinese, but born in this nigga body? That's not funny. And for the rest of my life, I had to go around making that face. Hey, everybody, I'm Chinese! And everyone get mad. Stop making that face. That's offensive. What? This is how I feel inside. It's hard not to write these jokes. It's hard not to think about. Even when I watch sports, I be thinking about. Like think about. Okay. Say LeBron James changed his gender. You know what I mean? Okay. Can he stay in the NBA? Or, because he's a woman, does he have to go to the WNBA where he will score 840 points a game? What does it actually mean to be equal? You know what I mean? Like, if women are actually equal to men, then there would be no WNBA, would there? He would just be good enough to play in the NBA with us. Or, here's another idea that's going to be very controversial. You could shut the fuck up. I'm sorry, ladies. I got a fucking Me Too headache. Y'all is killing me right now. It's really fucking tough to watch what's going on. You know, ladies, I said it in my last special, and I got in a lot of trouble for this. I told you you were right. But the way you're going about it is not going to work. But I'm biased. I said it. Louis C.K. was a very good friend of mine before he died in that terrible masturbation accident. And it was his room. You read the story. He was masturbating in his own room. That's where he's supposed to masturbate. And then he said, hey, everybody, I'm going to pull my dick out. Nobody ran for the door or nothing like that. They all just kind of hung out. Like, I wonder if this guy is serious. And he came on his own stomach. There it is. What is the threat? Have any women ever seen a guy that just came on his own stomach? This is the least threatening motherfucker the earth has ever seen. All you see is shame in their face and cum dripping down like pancake butter. He didn't do anything that you can call the police for. I dare to try. Call the police on him. Hello, police. Yes, I am on the other line with comedian Louis C.K., and I think that he is masturbating while I'm on the phone. You know what the police are gonna say in Atlanta? Well, what are you guys talking about? They ruined this nigga's life, and now he's coming back playing comedy clubs, and they acting like if he's able to do that, that's gonna hurt women. What the fuck is your agenda, ladies? Is sexism dead? No, in fact, the opposite happened. I said it was gonna get worse, and they said I was tone deaf. But 8 states, including your state, have passed the most stringent anti-abortion laws this nation has seen since Roe v. Wade. I told you. I'll be real with you, and I know nobody gives a fuck what I think anyway. I'm not for abortion. Oh, shut up, nigga. I'm not for it, but I'm not against it either. It all depends on who I get pregnant. I don't care. I'm telling you right now, I don't care what your religious beliefs are or anything. If you have a dick, you need to shut the fuck up on this one. Seriously. This is theirs. The right to choose is their unequivocal right. Not only do I believe they have the right to choose, I believe that they shouldn't have to consult anybody except for a physician about how they exercise that right. Gentlemen, that is fair. And ladies, to be fair to us, I also believe if you decide to have the baby, a man should not have to pay. That's fair. If you can kill this motherfucker, I can at least abandon him. It's my money, my choice. And if I'm wrong, then perhaps we're wrong. Just figure that shit out for yourselves. I mean, really, y'all, what the fuck are we doing? I can't live in this new world you're proposing. And meanwhile, while we're worrying about all this other shit, look at what's happening. They just killed another 12 people in a mass shooting in Virginia Beach. This shit's happening every week. It happens so much, I don't care anymore. I came home early from the road. I had a $12,000 suit on, because life's been going good. And I got home early, and dinner was cooking. You ever come home when dinner's cooking? Doesn't that smell good? And my son saw me, and he was like, "Dad's home." And he got up from the table and ran over to give me a hug, but he had chicken grease all over his face. So I stepped on him like, yo, my man. Watch these threads, son. This is an expensive suit. I don't want you to get the chicken grease all over me. And he was like, "What the chicken grease? Dad, this is duck." A tear came out of my eyes. I never dreamt I'd do so well in life that I'd raise a nigga with duck grease all over his face. And we sat down, we just talked about everything. I was telling my wife about how my shows were going, and I told her my trans jokes, and she was like, "Oh, I hate that joke." And you know why she hates the joke? Because she's Asian. But you know what I mean? I don't make that face at the house unless we're really fighting. And me and her, like, we weren't arguing, but you know what I mean? She was just like, "You need to stop doing that." And then I tried to change the subject. I go, "How is school going, boys?" And my son's telling me, "Well, we didn't have school today, technically." I'm like, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "Well, there was like a school shooting drill." I never heard of this. You know what this is? They have drills that they make kids do where they practice what to do if somebody comes to shoot up their school. I'd never heard that before. I was like, "What the fuck?" Then I had to tell my sons the truth. I didn't want to tell them this shit. Son, listen to me. Fuck that drill. If somebody comes to your school and wants to shoot it up, I'm just going to be honest with you. You probably going to get shot, nigga. I'm just being real. You got a famous dad. I talk a lot of shit. They're gonna be gunning for you, little buddy. Just stay low and run in a zigzag pattern and don't try to save anybody, son. Do you understand me? Why would you have kids rehearse for some shit they have no control of? All you're doing is training these kids to worry. It's the stupidest drill I've ever heard of. And while you're in there training them during these drills, well, aren't you training the shooter too? This nigga's in here listening and learning like the other kids. Sitting in the back. Where are we supposed to meet? If you're a parent, this shit is terrifying. This shit is real scary. All the parents is looking at each other crazy. Because we know as parents that one of us is raising the shooter. Just don't know which one of us it is. All we know for sure is that if you're a white parent, the chances that it's you exponentially higher than the rest of us. Shooting up school is a white kid's game. It's fucking crazy. You know, I hated school too. It never occurred to me. Kill everybody in school? It's fucking crazy. Just do what I did, nigga. Try some things. Have you skipped school, nigga? Skip school. Take a walk and meet some other kids. Fuck school, nigga. Try drugs. Have you tried drugs out, nigga? That might. Some scary shit. I've given this a lot of thought. I don't see any peaceful way to disarm America's whites. There's only one thing that's gonna save this country from itself. Same thing that always saves this country from itself. And that is African Americans. Right. And I know the question that a lot of y'all have in your minds is, should we do it? Yeah, fuck yeah, we should do it. Listen, no matter what they say or how they make you feel, remember, this is your country too. It is incumbent upon us to save our country. And you know what we have to do. This is a fucking election year. We gotta be serious. Every able-bodied African American must register for a legal firearm. That's the only way they'll change the law. I hate guns, personally. I can't stand them. Yeah, but I have several. I don't want them, but I feel like I need them. Don't forget where I live. I live in Ohio. And anyone that knows anything about Ohio knows that even the word Ohio is an old Native American word. It means, literally, a land of poor white people. And I don't know what's going on down here, but in my experience, poor white people love, and I mean they fucking love, heroin. They can't seem to get enough of it. I didn't even know what I was looking at first. I was just driving like, why are all these white people so sleepy out here? These things. It's really bad. As a matter of fact, I was coming out of a nightclub the other night in Dayton, and I had parked my car in the alley, and no one was out there. I didn't have no bodyguards or nothing. I was home. I figured everything was fine. And as soon as I opened my car door, all by myself, suddenly one of these heroin-addicted whites just pops out of a trash can. It scared the shit out of me. I screamed, ah! And then I realized it was a woman. She was fucked up. She's like, hey, man. Hey, man. Relax, okay? I'm sick, all right? I need some drugs, man. Please. I'll suck your dick for $5, man. I was like, ugh. Two. Obviously, I'm joking. This opioid crisis is a crisis. I see it every day. It's as bad as they say. It's ruining lives. It's destroying families. Sadly, you know what it reminds me of, seeing it? It reminds me of us. These white folks look exactly like us during the crack epidemic. You know, it's really crazy to see. And all this shit they talk about on the news about how divided the nation is, I don't believe it. I feel like nowadays we're getting a real good look at each other. It's wild because I even have insight into how the white community must have felt watching the black community go through the scourge of crack. Because I don't care either. Hang in there, whites. Just say no. What's so hard about that? Remember when y'all said that to us? But it's okay. There's no grudges. Now you finally got it right. Once it started happening to your kids, you realize it's a health crisis. These people are sick. They are not criminals. They are sick. Be that as it may, I'm armed to the teeth. First gun I bought was a 12-gauge shotgun. I didn't want the gun. Remember, though, I'd moved to a farm, and I was sitting there on the porch, and I see a white dude walking across my property, entitled, like he's supposed to be there. He had a rifle over his shoulder, too. Ain't that a bitch? I said, what the fuck is this guy doing on my property? I was mad as shit, but I was unarmed. So I ended up just waving to this motherfucker like a bitch. I was just like, and as soon as he got far enough away, I ran to my car and sped to Kmart. This is in a rural white area. And remember, I was nervous because a guy was on my property. I'm black and I was sweaty. You know what I mean? And I ran to the gun counter, black and sweaty, sweating and black. And I looked up at the nigga, I was like, I look like a slave or something. I said, I need a gun immediately, like that. Just like that. The guy didn't answer, no questions. He just grabbed a 12-gauge shotgun, handed it to me. I'd never even held a gun before. I'm not a dummy, though. I'm like, well, I need some bullets, too. And the guy reached under the counter, put two box of shells on the counter. He said, all right, buddy, which box do you want? And I didn't know. One box had a picture of some ducks on it. The other box had a picture of some deer. I said, well, what's that box with them ducks? He said, oh, that there's birdshot. And then he goes just like this. I'm not exaggerating. He goes, that won't kill a man. He said, it'll just pepper him up nicely. I said, what the fuck? Pepper? You know what it means to pepper a motherfucker up? It means that when the shell explodes, hot BBs will shoot out of the barrel of the gun, not killing a motherfucker, but penetrating their skin and shallow flesh. Boy, that's gotta hurt. Hot BBs? Remember when Dick Cheney shot a motherfucker in the face and he lived? That was birdshot. I said, well, what's that box with the deer on it? He goes, oh, that there's buckshot. That'll put a hole in the goddamn truck if you wanted to. So which box do you want? And he picked the one with the deer up and shook it. I thought he was trying to trick me. I was like, do you have a box with a picture of a white dude trespassing on it? Because it's exactly the strength I'm looking for. But I didn't know that if you're defending your home with a shotgun, the formula dictates that you're supposed to buy both boxes. This was not a formula that I was familiar with. It goes like this. The six shots in a 12-gauge shotgun. So when you load the gun, you load it like this. First shot, bird shot. Next shot, buckshot. Bird shot. And then after that, gun's Jamaican. Buckshot, buckshot, buckshot. You gotta picture it, okay? Like, say I'm in bed, I'm sleeping, and suddenly my wife wakes me up. David, David, wake up. And I'm like, oh, look who's come around. And I pull my dick over the top of my pajamas. And she says, no, I hear something. I go, oh, this bitch. So I get up out of bed. Grab the gun. I say, wait here, baby. I'll go check it out. Just lock the door behind me. Oh, my God. She's right. Right there in the kitchen is a heroin-addicted white. And he's digging through the change jar by the door. I worked really hard for that change. I gotta do something. So first, I wrapped the shotgun. Hey, motherfucker, click clack. That's a test. That click clack sound will stop a rational human being in their tracks. But sure enough, this person is not rational. They're sick on drugs. They're digging in the change. I gotta act fast. This nigga's almost got $1.50. I warned you, birdshot. And there goes. Hot BBs will permeate his yellow heroin skin. Remember, I'm not killing him. I'm just peppering him up nice. He lets out a heroin scream. And that should be the end of it. But, uh-oh, I miscalculated. While he's on the ground screaming, I noticed that his teeth are horribly miscolored. That's not heroin at all, is it? That's crystal meth. He pops right back up, unscathed. Roar! Time for the heavy stuff. Clack, clack, buckshot! And then if he got a friend with him, I got one more bird shot left. Then I repeat the cycle. After that, nigga, it's slugs for everybody. And I'll be in a kitchen full of dying heroin addicts saying stupid heroin last words.
You shot me, bro. It hurts, man. It hurts.
Their last words are always the dumbest words. Like,
why is your dick out?
I'm just afraid of being attacked. Happens to the best of us. Don't ever forget what happened to that French actor. You know what I'm talking about? Juicy Smouillet. He's a very French, very famous French actor. Y'all never heard of Juicy Smouillet? Juicy Smouillet is an actor from France. And he became famous on a show called Empire. One night, he was in Chicago late at night and was the victim of a racist and homophobic attack. You see, Juicy Smouillet is gay and he is black, not just French. Oh, it was a crazy story. Apparently, when he's walking down the street late at night, two white men came out of the shadows with MAGA hats on, beat him up. Tied a rope around his neck, called him all kinds of niggas, and put some bleach on him and ran off into the night. This shit was like international news. And everybody was furious, especially in Hollywood. It's all over everybody's Twitter feed and Instagram page. Justice for Juicy and all this shit. The whole country was up in arms. It was talking about it all the time on the news. And for some reason, African Americans, we were like oddly quiet. We were so quiet about this shit that the gay community started accusing African American community of being homophobic for not supporting him. What they didn't understand is that we were supporting him with our silence. Because we understood that this nigga was clearly lying. None of these details added up at all. He said he's walking down the street in Chicago and white dudes come up to him and say, hey, man, aren't you that faggot nigger from Empire? A fuck? Does that sound like how white people talk? I know white people. They don't talk like that. Are you that faggot nigga from Empire? They would never say that. It sounds like something that I would say. If you're racist and homophobic, you're not even gonna know who this nigga is. You can't watch Empire. Black people never feel sorry for the police, but this time we even felt sorry for the police. Can you imagine if you was a police veteran taking this kid's police report? Okay, Mr. Smullier, please tell me what happened. All right, you're 2 a.m. You left the house at 2 a.m. It's minus 16 degrees. All right. You were walking. All right. And where were you going? Subway. Sandwiches? That's when the men approached you? Did you see them? Do you have any? Okay, what they have on? MAGA hats. MAGA hats on in Chicago. Excuse me one second, Mr. Smullier. Frank, come here for a second. Find out where Kanye West was last night. Such a fucking outrageous story. He said they put a rope around his neck. Has anyone here ever been to Chicago? Yeah. All right. All right, so you've been there. Now tell me, how much rope do you remember seeing? Who the fuck is carrying rope? Like, when did you get mugged, nigga, in 1850? Who's got rope? Who's got rope? Man, that shit was awful. So, okay, I'm doing a show somewhere, and I'm on stage, and I was a little drunk, you know. And I figured, fuck it, let me talk about that nigga a little bit. I figured to be safe, because, you know, everybody's phones are locked up. And I went in on this kid. I was talking all kinds of shit. Now, I didn't know that there was a journalist in the audience. And unfortunately for me, that motherfucker took impeccable notes. He told everybody everything I said. He was even putting the jokes in the headline. The headline said, Dave Chappelle says he wants to smash a dollhouse over Juicy Smullier's head. And I thought for sure when I read that headline, I said, well, that's it for me. I'm canceled. But lucky for me, that very same day, the Chicago police caught the motherfuckers that actually did it. And hilariously, they were both Nigerian. Not only were they not white, they were very, very black. They were Nigerian, which is the funniest shit. The whole story is funnier now. This is MAGA country, you faggot nigga. You faggot nigga. If you're in a group that I made fun of, then just know that I probably will only make fun of you if I see myself in you. I make fun of poor white people because I was once poor. And I know that the only difference between a poor black person and a poor white person is that a poor white person feels like it's not supposed to be happening to them. Everything else is the same. I know what it's like to have a cold house. I wasn't allowed to touch the thermostat growing up without asking my father. And it would be fucking freezing in the house. I'd be like, Dad, please, can I please just turn the heat up to like, I don't know, 32? Nigga, it's really cold. And my dad would say, just put more clothes on, David. Got all three of my outfits on, nigga. Will you look at me? I'm freezing up here. And he said, just don't think about how cold you are, David. And I said this, I didn't say it to him, but I said it in front of him so he could hear it. I said, I fucking hate being poor. And my dad got really upset. He didn't scream or holler, that wasn't his way. He just threw his newspaper on the floor and he said, David, 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 you are not poor. He said, poor is a mentality. He said, it's a mentality that very few people ever recover from. Don't you forget it, son. You are broke. He said, these are just financial circumstances that I hope to overcome one day very soon. And I said, well, Dad, whatever you want to call this, it's wildly uncomfortable. There was a big dance coming up in the middle school. I was 12 years old. I said, Dad, can I go to the dance? He said, of course you can go to the dance. I want you to get out and meet some more kids. I said, great. It costs $3 to get in. And my dad said, ooh. Sorry, son. I don't have it. I was like, what the fuck? You don't have $3? Well, then how are we alive, Dad? Wish I found some way out of this hell. I'd do anything to not be poor. I will show Michael Jackson my anus if I get a chance. I just gotta get out of this hell. Dad said, if you want to go to the dance bad enough, I'll tell you what, there's some money in the change jar, get the money from there. I was 12 years old, that's what I did. I showed up to the dance early. There's a long line of kids waiting behind me while I'm at the door trying to count out 300 pennies to get inside. I will never forget this shit as long as I fucking live. Oh, man, you know, if you've been poor, you know what that feels like. You ashamed all the time. Feels like it's your fault. And all them kids was laughing, ha, 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 ha. Look how poor Dave Chappelle is. Like, when I think back at it, that's really the only time in my life that I ever thought to myself, I should kill everybody at school. Thank you very much, everybody, and good night.
Got loyalty, got royalty, it's
this is
my
why
DNA.
I say that hip-hop is more damage to young African-Americans than racism and racism.
This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, I'm meritorious. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix. Dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar. Sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building. Diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors. Peaches out the window, peeking out the window. Baby in the pool, Godfather goes. Only Lord knows, I've been going hammer. Dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's Brock wearing sandals. Yoga on a Monday, stretching to the fan. I'm watching all the snakes, curving all the fakes. Phone never own, I don't camera stand, I don't compromise, I just penetrate. Sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times. Level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, sinners on the way, kidness on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the light of skate. Tell me when destruction gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fake, gonna be a fake. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, DNA.
Vainglorious. This is protected by the red, the black, and the green at the crossroad with a key, sissy.